Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, would you speak aloud with me the title of our message? Our title today is A Gratitude Attitude. Based on our gospel reading, I just read to you, but listen to these verses again. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? I encourage you to follow your sermon outline. You'll find that on the back of your handout given out this morning as we consider our theme, A Gratitude Attitude. Well, there was a mother of a household preparing for a big Thanksgiving meal. And she had invited a number of friends from the church and also her pastor to come over for the meal. But all during her preparations, she was having second thoughts. She was concerned that she didn't have enough food. She was especially concerned because of the legendary appetite of the preacher. And so all during the day, her children could hear her muttering to herself, muttering and talking to herself aloud. When it was finally time to sit down for the meal, she asked the pastor if he would say the table grace. But the pastor just loved the prayers of little children, so he asked 5-year-old Jimmy to have the table prayer. Jimmy looked at his mommy and says, Mommy, I don't know what to say. And Mom said, Jimmy, just say what you've always heard Mom say. So Jimmy bowed his head, and this is what he prayed. Good Lord, why did I invite all these people here today, and especially that pastor who eats so much? Amen. And not exactly... Not exactly attitude of thanksgiving. Today's sermon is entitled, say it with me again, A Gratitude Attitude. Today we'll talk about two different responses to the goodness of Jesus. One response filled with gratitude and the other response not so much. The question for us on this Thanksgiving Sunday is this: how is my gratitude attitude for all the Lord has done for me? In today's gospel reading from Luke 17, we learn various lessons about gratitude. First, from a group of people called Samaritans. Listen to verse 11. And it happened, as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. This was no chance trip through Samaria, an area north of Jerusalem and Judah. And it happened, is the gospel writer Luke signaled to us that Jesus didn't take the normal route to go to Jerusalem. He went out of his way to travel through an area most folks would avoid. They avoided it due to a long-standing conflict between Jews and Samaritans, something we talked about this morning in our Bible class. They avoided it because by Jesus' time, the Samaritans and the Jews had been at odds for many, many years. Jesus' chosen travel route purposely shows the wideness and the broadness of God's mercy and God's love for the outsider. You may remember one of Jesus' most famous parables. Just so happens to be the parable we covered today in adult Bible class. The parable of the good. And Jesus uses the outsider, the cast off, the despicable Samaritan, as the hero of this parable to teach the self-righteous, pharisaical religious leaders that God's love overcomes any barriers that man tries to rise up. This is a great reason to give thanks. But next in Luke 17, we learn about a gratitude attitude from some lepers. Listen to verses 12 and 13. And as Jesus entered a certain village, 10 lepers met him. And they stood at a distance and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 10 lepers encountered Jesus in a village. The text later hints that 9 were likely Jewish and 1 was a Samaritan. Now, usually, as we already said, Jews and Samaritans would never associate. They were sworn enemies. But in this case, the absolute misery of their disease of leprosy didn't know any boundaries of politics or religion. Luke tells us, they stood at a distance and cried out. They had to stand at a distance and cried out because the cruel law for lepers at that day was this. If you had leprosy and you saw a clean person walking down the street towards you, you had to pass to the other side of the street and cry out these terrible words, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. Doesn't do a lot to build up your self-esteem, does it? And often these lepers were forced to live outside the city limits, in the hills, or most likely right next to or inside of the garbage dump. Now we read verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, St. Luke records, they were cleansed. It was the clear part of the Jewish law for a leper only to go to the priest if your leprosy was gone. Then you could receive from that priest the pronouncement that would give you your life back. The priest would say, you are clean. But in effect, Jesus said to them, before they were healed, just trust me. Make your way to the priest and see what happens. And Luke says, before they got to the priest, they were cleansed. Their leprosy was gone. Now we read the next verses, 15 and 16. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And Luke adds this phrase, and he was a Samaritan. All 10 were healed. We can imagine this healed Samaritan leper having a debate with the other 9. We're healed. We've got to go back and thank Jesus. The other 9 responded, no. He said, go to the priest. We want to go to the priest to get his pronouncement, to get our life back. What would you do? In this case, the majority went on to see the priests. Here's a case of the majority rules. But let me ask you, does the majority vote always determine the truth? In our day, laws, government practices, societal policies don't often reflect what is true or what is right. They too often reflect what the majority of voters desire or what financial contributors want to happen. Will you and I today be swayed by the majority? Or will we stand for what is right and true? You know, I wasn't going to say this in the sermon. It's not even on my notes. But there are a number of people in our congregation today who are becoming a part of our church, who have left their home church of many, many years because they've taken a stand for what is truth according to God's word. And they're suffering because of it. We're here to welcome them. Will we stand for what is God's truth, or will we be swayed by the majority? The nine went on. Only one came back to thank Jesus. And here we learn in our text today that ingratitude hurts. Ingratitude also hurts our Lord. Listen to verses 17 and 18. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Can you hear the hurt in Jesus' response? Where are the 9? The 9 were God's chosen people, the Jews. It was only the one outsider who came back to give thanks. Ah. What about God's people today? The church. Far too often, we do not have a gratitude attitude. It's far, far too easy for us to take for granted, to become used to all of God's blessings and not give them a second thought. Now, the complete list of God's blessings in our lives today is much too long to list. But try these on for size. The abundance we have living in this great land. The blessings of home and family and friends. The quality medical care available when we need it. The freedom to worship as we choose. The freedom to preach and teach God's word. The freedom to receive God's sacraments. The freedom to raise our children as the word of God and our conscience dictates we raise them. The freedom to speak our mind publicly without fear of imprisonment. Now, you better stop me. We'll be here all day. Tomorrow, on the official day of Thanksgiving, let us not just chase after the 9. Let us not just follow the majority and turn the day into an excess of food and drink and gluttony. That applies to later this afternoon or tomorrow, whenever you would do this. Let us use this time of thanksgiving with humbled and bowed heads to sincerely thank God for His blessings and to seek ways to every day share these blessings with others who are in need. This is just one reason why today you'll see in the narthex the table with boxes. We announced it last week. If you forgot to bring your foodstuffs, it's okay. You may put a financial offering in that basket. As we seek ways to feed the hungry in this area, there are more than you can imagine. Let Thanksgiving not just be a day for us to eat and to follow the 9. But to come back with the 1 and give thanks and express that thanks and caring for others who have need. Now listen to Jesus' words again from Luke 17. "We're not 10 cleansed, but the 9 were they." Ingratitude not only hurts God and others, it hurts ourselves. Ingratitude comes back to bite us. Ingratitude can lead to a hardened heart. A hardened heart can lead to unbelief. Unbelief can lead to rebellion, and rebellion to destruction. Listen to this same progression. I've written it on your outline. Did you see it? Ingratitude to hardened heart to unbelief, unbelief to destruction. Listen to this description in Hebrews chapter 3 about this very thing. Hebrews 3 verse 7 says, "Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion in the wilderness before entering to the promised land. See to it that none of you have an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Who were they that rebelled? Were they not those that Moses led into freedom out of Egypt, who were not able to enter the promised land due to their unthankful hearts and their unbelief? Yet Scripture teaches us that an attitude of gratitude makes us whole as God intends us to be. This is what the Samaritan leper learned. Listen to Luke 17, verse 19. And Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you whole." This man heard Jesus' words, trusted him, and returned to thank him, and was declared by Jesus to be whole. The other nine were healed physically. But only of this man was it said by Jesus, "You are whole, made whole for all eternity." The same is true for us. Hearing Jesus' word leads you to trust in him. This leads you to thank him. This leads you to greater trust and thankfulness and wholeness for this life and the life to come. And on Thanksgiving Day, let me ask you, who do you know has a bigger reason to give thanks than you? Some years ago, and by the way, if you're following the sermon outline, we are now rounding third and heading toward home. Years ago, in a Houston, Texas newspaper, there was a front page article entitled, "Thanks to an Anonymous Stranger." Let me read this article to you, so pardon me as I read it to you. Mrs. Roy Alvarez didn't have a chance to thank you. You well know the paralyzing terror that can grip a mother or father when they see one of their children dying. And Mrs. Alvarez saw her son, Roy Jr., 10 years old, being swept to his death by a vicious riptide at Rollover Pass near Gilcrest on Thursday. He had walked into the surf fully clothed and he couldn't swim. He was doomed. But you held on to Roy when the riptide rolled you both under into the jagged rocks below. And you struggled out of the water to give him back to his hysterical mother and father who froze in fear. But the last they saw of you, you were limping along the beach, trailing blood behind you. Mrs. Alvarez was calmer on Friday. She called our newspaper, the Houston Chronicle. And she told the story. And then she said, "He was hurt. He was bleeding. And we didn't even get his name. Will you please tell him how grateful we are? Will you please thank him for us? Please thank him for giving us back our son. Thank him for saving our precious boy and giving him back the gift of life." These people just had to express their thanks. And they didn't even know the name of their boy's Savior. My friends, we know the name of our Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Jesus came into your chaos of sin and death. In fact, he dove right in to save you. And to save me. On the cross, he suffered and died for and paid for your sin. He faced your devil. He died your death. And he rose from the grave to bring you with him forever in heaven. He loves you. And he gives you every blessing you enjoy. And he stands with you in every challenge that you face. So, what is your only response? What is the only thing for you to do? What is the only attitude you can have today, tomorrow, and for all eternity? Like the healed Samaritan leper, it is only this: a gratitude attitude. A gratitude attitude. Blessed Thanksgiving to you, 2012. In the name of Jesus, for whom we give God thanks. Amen.